Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's my joy and delight to be with you again today on Let's Face the Issues. I'm looking forward to this journey together on this broadcast. Let me remind you, at any point in time during the broadcast, you can jump in the dialogue and discussion by simply dialing 401-1413. 904-401-1413. Get your telephone call directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion together. We're going to be talking about our local city council and municipal races primary. That'll be on March the 19th. That's about 1 month from us, March the 19th. We'll decide the direction that Jacksonville is going to head in for the next 4 years. But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into that, let me remind you that as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of thought and philosophy. It's not a matter of ideological dialogue or debate. It's a matter of what does the Bible say. A lot of people today, ladies and gentlemen, make a decision on what they're going to do based on a denominational dogma, some rites, rituals, rules, or regulations, and not what the Scripture says. I believe it's time that we stand for truth, and the Word of God is truth. Jesus said that in John 17:17, and he said, "Thy word is truth." And he had already told his disciples in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I believe there are a lot of people today that want to come up with their own truth and not the truth that's written, revealed in the inspired, infallible word of God. And the Scripture is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, that we are to pray for those that rule over us. We're to pray for the kings and presidents, et cetera, et cetera. And the Scripture says that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. The indication there is, ladies and gentlemen, if we do not pray for our leadership and we do not exercise our right to vote, then we're placing ourselves in a position of being under the domination and the direction of those that are without a recognition of faith and family and our future as a city or as a state or as a nation. But ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you again, that telephone number is 401-1413. In a moment, we'll be introducing our guest for today and having dialogue and discussion with him in relationship to the election that's coming up. In a moment, we'll introduce for our listening audience a dialogue and discussion with Don Redmond. Don is running for City Council Group 4 at large. That means he's running across the entire city, not just in a district, but he'll be his election is for you and for me, for anyone that's listening to this radio broadcast, for our entire Duval County listening audience. And so let me urge you to, if you are listening and you want to hear what's being said, dial a friend. Ask them to dial, tune in, and listen also. And perhaps you want to call in and ask Don some questions. I believe this is one of the most serious races for city council and for the general election in our city that I've seen in many, many, many years as a resident here in Duval County. Ladies and gentlemen, as I simply put it, the race is on. Our city is now, I believe, at a crossroads that I've not seen for almost 40 years in our city, as serious as it is today. The determination of the direction that our city is going in is in your hands and in mine. God has so ordained it with our founding fathers and our founding documents and the opportunities that we have of voting. It is a right that I believe we need to exercise. It is a right that I believe we need to exercise with care. It is a right that I believe we need to give serious prayer on who we vote for and how we vote. It's not just something, if I can use the term, ladies and gentlemen, it's not just something that should be done on a willy-nilly basis, as some would call it. Some people will go into the voting booth and make a decision just based on whose name falls first in a particular slot or what they see or think or feel about that name. But we need to search out, look at our candidates, look at their background, look at what they've done before, look at what they're presently doing. Ask them questions. So we invite you today, ladies and gentlemen, to call in. Ask Don the questions that you would have. Ask to clarify in your mind that you know who we need to vote for and why. But on May the 19th of this year, we'll have the citywide primary. And ladies and gentlemen, I've lived in Jacksonville since about 1980. During these years of almost 40 years, I have seen a common thread in our city, a common thread in our political structure here in Jacksonville. And I believe it is that we have a handful of power brokers that make the determination of who's going to run and who's going to be in office and who's going to get elected. The decision of how the candidates will be vetted, et cetera, et cetera. And a good illustration of that, ladies and gentlemen, a few years ago, and I'm not going to call names now. I could, but I'm not. A few years ago in a local mayor's race, I was in a conversation with one of the city movers and shakers and a power broker. It's at one of the rallies and major events held for the mayor's race. And this particular person, and he's a deep-pocketed power broker, influential man in our city, and he said, quote, "We're going to replace mayor," and he called his name, "and find someone that we can put in office that will listen to what we tell him to do and will do it," end quote. And they did that. And it was because of the power brokers in our city. And just yesterday, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you read it or not, the entire front page of the local paper and the entire page two and about a third of page three in our local newspaper. And by the way, it's a fish wrapper. I don't subscribe to it. I had somebody that gave me the paper because they had finished reading it, and I was interested in the article. But I have no confidence in the paper and what it says, generally speaking. But this is an elaborately written, very elongated, in detail article about the one-year investigation of about five or six of our city council members. It had been held pretty quietly. It was secretly done, and I'm not pining about that. But the end result was some major, major, major findings, and we'll talk about those in a moment with Don in relationship to the election. But this year-long investigation about the corruption in our city government, especially in the city council. However, the state attorney's office said that they're not going to prosecute because of lack of evidence. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I've read the article thoroughly. I've talked with at least two people in relationship to their knowledge about this article and what was taking place. Listen very carefully. Not prosecuting because of lack of evidence does not mean that something illegal did not take place. It just means that there's not enough evidence to prosecute and to get a conviction. I find it sad so often when state attorney's office will not prosecute a case unless they can be assured in the beginning that they can get a conviction out of it. But ladies and gentlemen, every citizen, every conservative, every Christian in our city, we need to be praying, ladies and gentlemen, that God will give us wisdom in this election, to be sure to research the conditions of our candidates, the background of the candidates, who they are and what they're doing, and vote for the man that we believe that God would have us to put into office, a man that's going to stand for biblical truth, a man that will stand for right, a man that will stand for righteousness, even if he has to stand alone. Ladies and gentlemen, I have come to the point and place in my years, I'm still less than 100 years old, but I've come to the place in my life that I don't care if a person says he's going to take a stand, and even if he stands alone. That's what we need to do as Christians. We need to be willing to obey the word of God, to stand, even if we have the whole world standing against us, that we stand for right, we stand for righteousness, we stand for what God would have us to do. And ladies and gentlemen, the city council candidate that I believe God would have us to put in office, the city council candidates, as well as the other city political officers that are being, that's up for election and re-election, I believe that we need to put those in office that's going to stand for faith and family and for the future of our city. Because the future of our city, the future of our families, the future of our faith stands in the balance with who we put in office. Keep in mind, as I said in the monologue earlier, ladies and gentlemen, that God created government as his servant. According to Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7, government is the minister of God. The word minister is the same word we get for servant. The government God created is to be the servant of God. What does that mean? That means that whatever government does and those that are elected in offices of government, whatever they do, should do that which pleases God and honors God, because they need to recognize that they are servants of God. And the purpose for government, according to Romans chapter 13, is to prosecute evil and to protect the good. And so I'm prayerful, ladies and gentlemen, that you'll hear our candidate today. I'm delighted to say to you that I've known Brother Don for about 40 years, and I'm thankful for our relationship, his love for the Lord, his love for the Word, and his stand for truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted today to have with us on Let's Face the Issues, Don Redmond. Don's a candidate for Group 4 at large city council. Don, thank you for being with us today. I'm delighted that you could take time out of your busy schedule to come and join us with this dialogue and discussion today. And let me interject this again for our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, as we interview Don Redmond for City Council Group 4 at large, we're going to take the dominance and, in fact, the total balance of our time to let Don talk and answer your questions. If you'll call 401-1413, delighted to have you join in this dialogue and discussion. Don, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood, and thank you for the opportunity to be here. And please do, if you're out there have questions for me, please call in. I would love to answer any questions that you might have. I'm a born again believer. I think that the Bible is true from beginning to the end, and I have taken a stand for the Bible in the 8 years that I served on the city council previously. And I did stand alone at times. The fact that the pressure that is put on you as a city councilman controls too many of our elected officials at this time. They will give in to the power brokers, as Dr. Youngblood was saying. We have power brokers that try, and they do a very good job of picking and choosing those that they want in office and getting the ones out that don't vote the way they want them to. I've committed in the years that I was there that I would not sell my soul for whatever the power brokers and whatever the if it wasn't good for our city, it wasn't good for the family values and the quality of life that our citizens need, then I would not support it. And I did take strong stand on the HRO legislation that we voted it down in the time that I was there. The council that is there now, of course, voted it in. And
for our listeners, Don, that may not know what HRO, it's the Human Rights Ordinance. And in reality, it's not a human rights ordinance. It is a special exemption, a special ordinance for the homosexuals in Duval County. They've carved out a segment of society, ladies and gentlemen, that live an immoral, ungodly, sodomite lifestyle. And across the nation, it's less than 2% of our population. But yet governmental agencies across the nation, including our present city council, voted to give that group special exceptions, special rights that allow them to force women and young ladies and girls and children to have to go into shower rooms, locker rooms, bathrooms with those that are having sexual dysphoria. That is, they're confused about their sexuality. Transsexuals, homosexuals, I just simply call them the sodomites because that's what God's word calls them. But as Don had just said, he took a stand against it. He was laughed at, mocked at, made fun of, and I was in several of those meetings. In fact, invested several hundred hours in the research and the study and the preparation to testify before city council against that ungodly legislation. And that's the kind of man that we're speaking to today. Don, continue to tell us something about what is your passion. Maybe I'm a little ahead of myself, but I want to ask you, just share with our listeners. Let's say that you're elected, and I'm praying to God that he will put you in there. So it's not if, but when you go into city council, tell our listeners three things that you're passionate about, that you really want to accomplish, that you really want to do, that you think our city needs.
Well, I have a great concern for the young people in our community, and I'm chairman of the Area School Advisory Committee for in the Southside area, and I meet with the superintendent every month and meet with principals every month, and I hear a lot of things that are being taught in our public schools, and I think, you know, as a city councilman, we need to work with our school system, work together with them. When I was there before, I came up with the idea of an out-of-school suspension program, which has been discontinued. This allowed, when a child was, instead of kicking a child out of school, putting them on the street, and they get in trouble with their friends that just didn't go to school, and we would house them. They would do their homework. They would counsel for whatever issues that they had that was causing them to disrupt the classes in their school. So, you know, that's gone by the wayside. We have a gang problem in Jacksonville, and this contributes to that gang problem by allowing these students to be kicked out of school and put on the streets. And we see what's happening because of our young people running loose.
Yes, Don, you touched on, if I could interject this thought, mm-hmm. you touched on the gang problem in Jacksonville. I'm familiar, I think, pretty intimately with what's happening in our city from the standpoint of the gang problem and crime and the murders, et cetera, et cetera. And maybe our listeners are not aware of this. I'm sure you are. But we have an 840 square mile DeVol County, 840 square miles. That's a pretty good area. When you compare that to Birmingham, Alabama, for example, they have our city covered 2-1 as far as the law enforcement. 840 square miles with the present number of law enforcement officers that wear badges and in uniform each day, that means you have one police officer that's patrolling the streets for every 10,000 citizens, every 10,000 citizens. And for the stretched out enormity of our county, it's an impossibility for us to patrol crime with one police officer for every 10,000 citizens. It can't be done. It's an impossibility. I talked with a police officer recently, and he was out on the extreme side of near Mayport and got a call on his microphone with a police officer in a shooting or in a problem where it needed backup and wanted to know, is there any officer that's available to respond? And he said, silence on the microphone, nobody. And he dropped what he was doing because it was not a life and death scenario, zipped across the city to the inner city area, which was mega distance away, to try to give officer backup. That ought not to be. And yet we heard the mayor talking about the fact that he's put 160 officers on the street. And yet by attrition, we've had about 300 that's left. So we're playing catch up. We're not catching up. So as a city councilman, how would you respond to that scenario?
Well, we're going to have to give our sheriff's department what they need to do the job. And Dr. Youngblood is exactly right. I mean, the numbers that we're hearing are artificial because of what we are losing. We have people, because of the new contract, that are going out on the drop plan a lot faster and a lot more of them than normal, and people going getting trained here and going to other places for more money. So we have to look at our sheriff's department, our police, and decide what kind of safety we expect for our city. We want to be safe. We want our kids educated. We want to feel safe. And we want to know that if when we call the police. I assisted in a policeman that was being attacked by a man he was trying to arrest just a few months ago. And he was calling for a backup for at least 10 minutes. Mm-hmm.
And had nobody to back up.
I mean, this was a 250-pound man that this policeman was trying to get handcuffs on, who was resisting, and he would never have made it by himself. So that should not happen. He should not have to be in fear of his life for 10 or 15 minutes waiting for backup. Waiting for.
And that goes back to the very, very large problem that we have in Duval County. It's unlike any other city in the United States with 840 square mile territory. But Don, what would you say in that same vein? We'll talk about police protection and safety of our citizens for a moment. Then we'll transition to another subject. What would you say if you have a particular segment of our city where a police sergeant is in charge of that particular station and has given orders to the police officers to stand down, don't follow people if the taillight's out, don't stop them, don't ask questions, don't interfere unless something major happens, just leave them alone because it will cause them to think badly of police. And that's happening in our city. I'm familiar with it. So it's a lack of law enforcement because when that sergeant told the ones under her that's what they needed to do, do you know what they did? They stopped policing altogether. They said, we'll just do the riding of our patrol. We'll watch, listen, close our eyes, and keep on doing our job because if we try to stop somebody, then we're going to be blamed. We'll be dinged. We'll be condemned and chastened by law enforcement over us. So how do we handle that sort of thing that's happening in our city?
Well, that is happening too much. And partially because of our legal system and so many are getting away with crime that they should not be getting away with. I know, when I was on the council before, we had the Occupy people that were occupying the streets of downtown Jacksonville, which was illegal, camped out in front of City Hall. I asked the mayor, I asked the police department to do something about it, and they said, well, no, the mayor told us to stand down. Mm-hmm. And I went to the mayor, and the mayor said, no, we're not going to bother them. And, of course, this was a part of their reelection campaign for Obama. So they were there for their reason, and we had a mayor that wanted to support that reason. So the police were told to stand down. And that I saw that happen not only there, but in other occasions that where the law was not upheld because leadership would tell them to stand down, stand down. Yes. We don't want to make people mad.
Well, one of the major problems that we have, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Don Redman. Don is the candidate for City Council Group 4 at large. That means all across our city, all of Duval County, you can vote for Don Redman in the upcoming primary March the 19th. But Don, I believe that I understood you to say earlier in our conversation prior to going on the radio show today that your opponent says that he thinks that we need to raise taxes in Duval County. Tell us about that.
Well, that in an interview last week with the Times Union, my opponent said that Jacksonville is living cheap. Said we need to raise taxes. I couldn't believe he would say this, make a statement like that. And we are all paying more taxes for the last couple of years because our property values have gone up. We are paying more taxes. And there is ample amount of money in our city to do what we need to have done if it's used properly.
Yes.
We don't need
to stop
to be
doling out
it.
Money for things like the Jasmine Club over in Orange Park, where they're out, if you please, soliciting youngsters on the street to transition them from male to female, female to male. Yeah. And our tax money is giving them about $50,000 a year for that.
That's right.
We need to stop the doling out of taxpayers' funds indiscriminately for good old boys clubs and for getting votes and for currying favor with the community.
Yes. And, even our county health department is going around from school to school, handing out condoms to kids that want them, and teaching safe sex to the homosexual kids that think they might be interested in homosexuality or any kind of sex. This we should not even be permitted in our schools, it goes on and on. Some of the things that we are putting our taxpayers' dollars that's mine and your dollars that, we should have a say-so in what our money goes towards, what our tax dollars are spent on. We're just spending a couple million dollars on tearing down a bridge that doesn't need to be torn down. That's a major issue. There's a lot of things that we spend money on that we need to be spending on.
In other words,
you believe
we need to tighten our belt and make sure that the taxpayers' dollars are spent wisely as an investment.
We do not need to raise taxes.
Let's transition a thought here. That three-page article in yesterday's newspaper about the year-long investigation by the state attorney's office on five or six city council members about violation of the Sunshine Law. Ladies and gentlemen, the Sunshine Law doesn't mean that it's sunshine. It means that it, with an elected official, any conversation they have needs to be open before the public, before a microphone, before the camera, so that it cannot be done behind the closed doors or in secret. And yet we had, and I read the article with major intrigue and interest, but ladies and gentlemen, during the course of reading that article, found that some city council members, one was 62 hours on the telephone with another city council person, another one 74 hours, another one 36 hours on the phone with other city council meeting members. But yet the city council members first denied having these out-of-the-sunshine conversations until they were faced with the phone logs approving their conversation. That included the president of the city council, Anna Brochet, that's now running for mayor of the city. We had, in fact, you can read the article. I would challenge you and encourage you to do so. Don, how would you respond to that? Do you believe that it's necessary for the city council member to spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of hours on the telephone with other city council members about city council business?
Every year, every elected official has to go for ethics training. Including every city council permit. It's required. It's not a choice. It's required. And in this training, we are told that you do not communicate with any colleague on the city council that on any issue that you might be voting on. I mean, if you even don't even make create the appearance that you might be communicating on whether it be by phone, whether it be by texting, whether it be face to face.
Well, what I discovered in this, Don, if this article is correct, that some of the city council members are using a non-council member liaison where they would whisper in their ear, so to speak, and they would then transmit that information to another city council member. That is a purposeful attempt to defraud the system and to circumvent this sunshine laws.
It is, and that's illegal. And we were told that is. Every detail of communication is explained and gone through with each elected official. And they know better. They know that
better.
They're not supposed to do that.
Yes. They willingly have done that.
Yes.
One other thing that if we can cover very quickly, Don, I hate to relegate it to a few moments, but we'll do this, have this conversation again. There is House Bill 235 that's been introduced in Tallahassee. And I realize that has nothing to do with city council, but House Bill 235, dealing with Bible in the classroom. Do you believe that it is wise for us to have in the state of Florida the elective for parents to choose 9th through the 12th grade to allow their student to be taught Bible as a historic book? Do you believe that's wise?
I think it's wise. The Bible is a historic book. And, you know, it should, I would support that, yes.
Absolutely. And the reason I ask that question, ladies and gentlemen, because if this bill passes, and I am pushing every button that I can push in Tallahassee to see that it is, and I'm prayerful that we get that passed through our House and through our Senate, and if it is, then there may be some pushback from a county level or a local municipality. And I believe our city council members need to take a stand and be out front. And Don Redmond, running for City Council Group 4 at large, will have a great impact on our City Council from a Christian businessman's perspective, from a moral, ethical, Christian view, and a conservative. And so, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let Don take the next 30 seconds in our closing time, tell you how what he needs is your help, what he wants you to do, and asking you to vote for him and giving you contact information. Don, share with our listeners.
All right, go to voteforDonRedmond.com, and you can find out a lot more about me. My phone number, 904-626-9307. I need to put yard signs in people's yards, so if you can do that for me, give me a call. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on there once again as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.